Now we give you praise, oh God. We thank you, Lord. You're everything we have need of tonight, and we magnify you, praise you, and worship you. Praise God. Love the presence of God I feel in the house tonight. So thankful that God lets me be a part of His people and a part of His church. I'm so glad that God's working a work in the earth. And as we watch it transpire, the world has lost its mind and is moving in so many directions at warp speed. It is so good to be tethered to the Word of God and the Kingdom of God. And to know that there's only one kingdom that's going to last, and it'll be the Kingdom of the Most High God. And so we are so blessed to be a part of that tonight. I want you to remember on the way out tonight to grab some flyers and invite somebody at the job or at school or as you make your way through the city here in the next couple of days. Invite somebody to church. Brother Booker's going to be a blessing in the house this weekend, and you want to invite them in. You never know what God is going to do and who's going to be touched and what will transpire. Every time we walk in the door, there's the possibility of transformation. Every time we walk in the door, it is line on line, precept on precept, and we're all being built and we're all being strengthened. And little by little, we're becoming more like Him, and we're the cultivated field of God. But there is the possibility of drastic transformation every time we come in the door. And so you want to bring somebody in with you. And that's the duty and the responsibility of the Church of the Living God. Praise God. So, wonderful church this weekend with Brother Alba, and really appreciated his ministry. Really nice to meet somebody new in the Kingdom of God, and I appreciate the way that he's ministered here. And I would like to tell you that you ministered to him, and it is really a reciprocal relationship. When we minister in the house of God, it flows back and forth. There's ebb and there's flow and there's exchange, and it's a strengthening on both ends of that equation. And I appreciate your worship and your prayer and your being involved and your preaching with the preacher, because all of those things are important for you and for your house, but it's important for that preacher too. And you, I want you to know he went away with a blessing, and that's a good thing. So I want him to think about this church and think about it with fondness, and want him to say, boy, we had church at that place when we opened the Word there. Praise God. So you follow politics? I don't care. You watching the economy? It really doesn't matter. Did you know that Iran test fired a couple of ballistic missiles today? And that doesn't matter either. And did you know that the little guy, Kim Il-Jung, that he has miniaturized nuclear warheads? That's a stroke of genius. Everybody knows he doesn't have a rocket big enough to deliver the payload. And so he said, oh yes, but we reduced our payload. And so now they can deliver nukes, little tiny nukes. But if it's a nuke, I don't guess it matters how big it is if it hits you. But this is the headlines. They're full of all these things. But as the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. I quickly get enough of the headlines and of the media buzz and all the hum and the all that that's going on out there, but I don't get tired of this. I am so hungry for more of His Word and more of His Spirit, and I just believe it's going to be like that throughout eternity. You can't get enough of this. God is so very good. We appreciate Brother Jeff and his helpers last Wednesday night, a wonderful spread, and the first Wednesday night of the month, feeding a host of people over in the other building. We'll read a scripture tonight. We're still in Hebrews chapter 11, and we are making our way out of the by faith portion of it. and we're moving on into something a little more challenging in some ways. But let's start with Rahab tonight, Hebrews 11 and 31. We're defining faith, we're learning about faith, we're checking for symptoms of faith in our own lives. And this is so nice, we can look, as James says, into the Word of God, and we can see ourselves. And so that's a wonderful thing. Hebrews 11, and by faith, the harlot Rahab perish not with them that believe not, and when she had received the spies with peace. Praise God. God bless you. You can be seated. Let's clap our hands and lift up a voice of praise for the Word of God, for the privilege of handling it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. And so, a lot of kids all over the place tonight. Wonderful thing that the kids are soaking up the Word of God all over this place tonight. And I am excited about what that portends for revival in the city of Birmingham for generations to come. By faith, the harlot Rahab. Rahab is out of the story of Israel's conquering of the land of Abraham, the land of promise. She is a prostitute. She's a harlot. She lives in her house on the wall of Jericho. And she is the first and only person that the spies encounter when Joshua sends them out to spy out the land. And she takes them into her home and she hides them from those that are interested in securing the city. And then she lets them down out of her window over the wall and she makes a contract with them that when they come back to destroy the city, that they will spare her and her house. And they make a deal with her. So here's the scenario in Joshua chapter 6 and beginning in verse 3. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you shall hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout, and the wall of the city shall fall down flat. And the people shall ascend up every man straight before him. And here's where we talked about the fact that there is no rational linear connecting line between what God has asked you to do and the outcome that God has planned for you. So sometimes he will ask you to do something that's beyond your capacity to understand. He'll hang you out there where Abraham and Sarah were, beyond their physical capacity, beyond the range of their ministry. Sometimes he'll ask you something very simple to do, like pound some arrows on the ground. But the bottom line on this is simply that whatever we find to do, whatever God asks us to do, we do it with all of our heart as unto the Lord. Whether it's something very simple or something beyond our range, we are fully invested in the house of God and in the kingdom of God and in the Word of God. And the response we have for God is just one simple expression. Amen. We just say amen to God. We just say yes to God. Somebody say amen. Praise God. And so we're going to march and we're going to keep our mouths shut and we're going to circumvent the city and on the seventh day seven times and sound the trumps and a great shout. We'll do that paltry little physical exercise, but God will bring the wall down. I don't know what you need to have happen in your life right now. I don't know what your circumstance is, but I will tell you this, that if you will yoke your meager capacity, your meager ability with the ability and the capacity of God, that God can grant you an outcome that is beyond your ability. Is there an amen in the house? Is there a testimony that said, I stood in a place where I had no power, but I said yes to God, and God unleashed his power. Let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. All he needs is a willing vessel. All he needs is someone to say amen. Amen. So this is very, very difficult perhaps for them to hear. But they go on to say in verse 10, and the city shall be accursed, even it and all that are therein, to the Lord. Only Rahab the harlot shall live, she and all that are with her in her house, because she hid the messengers that we sent. Everybody's going to die, but Rahab's going to live. Faith will put you in a position where everybody around you is without hope, but you have hope in your life and in your home and in your relationship and with your children. Everything in the world may be losing its mind. Everything may be going straight to hell, but if I've got faith in God, then I've got light when they're in darkness. I've got bread when they're hungry. I've got water when everybody around me is thirsty. God never fails. God does everything well. God never loses, and God's not going to start with us. Somebody say praise the Lord. And so everything is going to be destroyed, but not Rahab, because Rahab received the word of God and Rahab acted in faith. Now, it may not have been an easy thing for her, but Rahab does the thing that is equated with faith. Faith, again, is not a feeling. Faith is not an idea. Faith is what we do. You may feel abject terror, but you do the right thing and God will move with you and act on your faith. Praise God. So Rahab is going to live. Only Rahab is going to live. Everybody else is going to die. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So with my mouth, I'm going to be a spokesman for faith. With my life, I'm going to walk in the ways of faith. With my choices, I'm going to choose faith over everything else. And all that amounts to is walk the word of God. Talk the word of God. Say yes to the word of God. Somebody say amen. There's always an alternative to the word of God. There's always somebody selling something cheap on the side, and all the barkers are calling at you. But we walk in faith, and like Rahab, who is the most improbable personality that might have been delivered. She was not pious. She was not holy. She was a member of the oldest profession. She was, to the Jewish mindset and later the codifying of the law of God, she was somebody that was not pristine and somebody that was not holy or godly, but she, unlikely as she was, she acted in faith. Faith took her somewhere she didn't in her life, and the power of her testimony had no chance of going. But faith will take you into the presence of God when you don't have the credentials and you don't have the wherewithal and you are not eligible and you are not qualified. Faith will take you places you're not qualified to go. Faith will take you places you don't have the wherewithal to go. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. It'll open the door when nothing else will. And then on down in verse 22 and 23. But Joshua had said unto the two men that had spied out the country, go into the harlot's house and bring out thence the woman and all that she hath, her family. And as you swear unto her. And the young men that were spies went in and brought out Rahab and her father and her mother and her brethren and all that she had. And they brought out all her kindred and left them without the camp of Israel. And so your faith is not isolated to you and what it engenders in your life. But faith is like something Jesus taught. Faith is like the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is like leaven hid in a measure of meal. And before it's over, it's spread. It's contagious. It's moving. Your faith has the capacity to touch people that you love. Your faith has the capacity to touch people that are important to you that might not have a prayer. They didn't do the right thing, but your faith radiates out and has the power of a contagion to touch others and bring others under the canopy of the blessing and the mercy and the goodness and the power of God. You got anybody you love that you'd like to see come into the kingdom of God? Quit fooling around and stand in faith. Start moving in faith. Start saying the thing that faith requires. Praise God. So they brought them all and they left them without the camp of Israel or outside the camp of Israel. This is faith in a cursed city. This is faith in a place that is destined for total destruction. God cursed it with a curse and said, don't let anybody raise it up again. And for the man who raises it up, he hangs the gates on his firstborn son. He said there's going to be a curse associated with rebuilding this city of Jericho. And so faith then in this dark place, this doomed place, is a glimmer of light and a place of safety for people that would have been under the curse of God. Faith is the beginning of our salvation. Faith is a toehold in the kingdom of God. It's where I start living for God. It's where I first say yes to God. And then again today I say yes to God. In all my tomorrows I say yes to God. I continue in my faith. Faith started in a cursed city. You can have faith in the middle of a place where nobody does. You can have faith. Listen to me. If you refuse to walk in faith, it's not a condition. It's a choice. It's not a circumstance. It's a choice. It's not the result of an environment. It's a choice. Rahab has faith in a land where nobody has faith. Rahab receives the blessing in a place where everybody is cursed. And so wherever you are, whatever your circumstance, whatever your definition, you can bow yourself up and stand and say yes to God. I believe God. It's going to be all right. Everybody around you can be doomsayers and naysayers, but you can say, you watch, it's going to be good. God's going to make this turn around. God's going to do something good in my life. You know God won't ignore it when you start bragging on Him. When you start talking about God, you brag on Him and God begins to move on your behalf. Faith moved for Rahab in a cursed city. And then they brought her and all that she had outside the camp of God's people. They brought her outside. She couldn't go into the camp of Israel because she didn't fit in. Faith brought her to the outside. And that's a scary thing, and that's a hurtful thing, and that's a thing I've seen enacted in people, and they could not navigate it. They couldn't handle it because faith brought them to the house of God. Faith brought them to the promise of God. Faith brought them to a Sunday morning or a Sunday night service. But when faith brought them there, they were still a stranger and an alien and an outsider, and they found themselves outside the camp, and their feelings were hurt, or maybe their predisposition for rejection was touched, and maybe they had an old offense in their heart and they said, well, this is going to be just like that. And maybe they projected on the people of God and said, well, I don't fit in here, so I can't, faith can't be nourished and faith can't be true and I can't exercise. There's so many million possibilities there when you begin to encounter the house of God or the people of God. But I know that Rahab, she comes out of Jericho and she stays outside the camp of Israel. That's not going to be a long-lasting development. Before it's done, she's going to be in the camp of Israel. And before it's over, faith is going to take her places where she has no qualifications to go, because I find her in the bloodline of Jesus Christ when I get down into the gospel era. But I'll tell you this, when you come to the house of God, you have to look over the fence and you have to say, I don't belong, I don't fit in, I don't know how, and I'm not connected here. But you're going to have to drag me away kicking and screaming, because faith has brought me to the house of God. And I'm going to stay. I'm going to become a part of the people of God. I'm going to get into the encampment of the people of God. And I'm, before it's over, I'm going to marry into the people of God. And I'm going to become a part of the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Faith has a made up mind. Faith won't be turned away. Faith doesn't have tender feelings. Faith cannot be offended. Faith will not stand outside and say, oh, poor pitiful me. Clap your hands unto the Lord and bless His name. Turn to your neighbor and tell him, you're stuck with me. I'm in the house of God. I'm going to be up in the middle of the house of God. I'm going to be all up in this thing. And there's no way you talk bad to me if you want to, but I'm going to be all up in the middle of this thing. I'm going to be a part of this thing. I'm going to be your cousin. I'm going to be your brother. I'm going to be your best friend. I'm going to be your best buddy. We're going to be all up in here. Well, you're crazy. You're a Canaanite. You're a citizen of Jericho. You came out of a cursed city. You can't fit in here with all these holy, pristine, godly people. You don't fit in here. No, I don't fit in here. But faith says I can come. And faith says I can be a part. And faith says God can transform me. And faith says even if you don't like it, God can transform you. Amen. Well, praise God. You know anybody can come into the house of God? All it takes is faith. People get ready. There's a train coming. He said, all you need is faith. Hear the diesels humming. I'm on board. I'm in the house. Well, your daddy wasn't a preacher. I don't care. You don't belong here. I don't care. You had mistakes in your past. I don't care. You had a life that wasn't anything like the people of God. I don't care. I don't care. They don't know me. I don't care. I don't fit in. I don't care. Faith brings me to places where I don't have the coin. I don't have the capacity. I don't have the qualification. But faith is the coin of the kingdom. And you know what? Just being a part of the culture of the people of God. I know God's people and they love it when people walk in faith. They love it when people come in and say, this is it. I am here. I am part of this. You're going to see me every Sunday morning, every Sunday night, every Wednesday night at old ladies' meetings. I'm going to be there for every little meeting, every little prayer gathering. I'm going to be there for it all because I want to be a part of it. Praise God. Faith goes places where sin can't go. Jericho didn't get to come in, but Rahab got to come in. Faith. These are hard transitions. Receive these spies. Jeopardize her life. Receive these spies. Turn her back on her world. All that is entailed by that action she took. But faith will help you navigate all the hard transitions. Here is wisdom for you. When you encounter the realities of walking in faith and you see them, you will tend to project in the negative. You, by your nature, by your fallen nature, will tend to project all the things that are going to go wrong and all of the things it may cost you. And all of the upset that may take place. But faith doesn't think like that. And faith doesn't speak like that. And you need to just stop yourself. And faith is a choice. And you do have control over what goes on in your mind. The apostle said, think on these things, if there be any. And he gave you a list. And he said, you think on these things. The implication is you have control over what comes out of your mouth. And you have control over what parades through your mind. And you can stand up and say, I'm believing God for a good outcome. And I believe God's going to make this work. And I can't see it and I don't understand it. But I believe God is able to do all things. And he is able to take my life in his hand. Cause me to see the promise of God in my life. Now, it's amazing to me. Rahab's house was on the wall. And the word of God said the whole wall fell down flat. But Rahab's house, the whole house, and everybody in it, they all lived. Praise God. We were cursed when we walked in the house of God. We were cursed. And when we walk out of the house of God and leave the things of God, we walk right back into the curse. But faith creates a special dispensation where my house can have a bullseye on it. And I can be slated for destruction, but faith moves me to a new address. And I come out of that place where I was destined to die. But now I'm going to live and I'm not going to die. I'm going to live forever. Faith is an amazing and a wonderful thing. Joshua 2, verses 14 and 15, and here's how it went down. And the men answered her, "Our life for yours. If you utter not this, our business," when they go back and when they're leaving the city, "if you don't utter our business, and it shall be when the Lord hath given us this land, then we will deal kindly and truly with you." Then she let them down by a cord through the window, and her house was upon the town wall, and she dwelt upon the wall. Now here are her instructions in verse 18 and verse 21. "Behold, when we come into the land, thou shalt bind this line of scarlet thread in the window, which thou didst let us down by. And thou shalt bring thy father and thy mother and thy brethren and all thy father's household home unto thee." And she said, "According to your words, so be it." And she sent them away, and they departed. And she bound the scarlet line in the window. And I can't help, this is fresh. This is, they've passed through the wilderness. It's been 40 years. But this is fresh in the story. That line, that scarlet line she lets out the window, is so like the blood that they put on the doorpost on the way out of Egypt on the night of the Passover. And they said, "Here, we got a little something for you. Let this little red line out of your window. Everybody in this city is going to die, but not the one with the little red cord running out of her window, emblematic of the blood of that lamb, of that sacrifice. And I'm just going to tell you, the angels of God know where your house is. The angels of God know where your family is dwelling tonight. While you got your head on that pillow and you're powerless and anybody could do anything with you, you can sleep like a baby tonight because there's a red cord that comes out of your house in full view of every entity in the spirit. Every angel and every demon sees it. That house belongs to God. That house is covered by the blood. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I want you to know it's important for you to have that red line coming out of your house tonight. It is the covering. I know, I understand that it's a difficult thing. Everybody around you is living in Egypt, and they're living it with passion, and they love the ways of the world around them. But we have found something that is immeasurably better and greater and of greater value. And we love the things of God tonight. And I don't care who sees the crimson stream of blood in my life and on my house. I don't care. I want them to know there's something different going on in that house. I don't care to fit in on the job. I don't care to fit in at the school. I don't care to fit in. Listen to me. Ever since I've been living for God, I've been back to school. I don't care if I look a little different than everybody around me. I've been back to the job since I've been living for God. My God, I left the job with hair down to here and a beard down to here and a rough mouth and a rough life in a rough way, and I came back looking like I joined the Boy Scouts, and those big old burly guys were giving me a hard time about all of that, Brother Warren, but I don't care because I found something that was real, and I don't care if I've got the covering of the blood of God in my life. I don't care what they say. I don't care what they think. It doesn't matter if they understand or not. It's not about them. It's about Him. I'm not worried about pleasing them. I'm worried about pleasing Him. My mama may not like it. My daddy may not like it. But I'm worried about pleasing God tonight. Somebody say praise the Lord. She had a very obvious and a very overt sign outside her house. And it saved her life. And it saved all of those that were in her house. And we move on into the 11th chapter, and now we're moving out of by faith Noah, by faith Abel, by faith all of the champions of faith, Abraham and Moses and Jochebed and all of these. But now we're going to move into a synopsis, and he said in verse 32, "And what more shall I say?" Really, he's run out of time and run out of space, because you can't recreate the whole story. Suffice it to say that every champion of God was a champion of faith. Everyone who pleased God by faith. And without faith, it's impossible to please God. Somebody say amen. Come on, if you're on the cusp of a decision right now, you say yes to faith. You say yes to the Word of God. Don't back up. Don't let the devil intimidate you. Don't let your fears rise up and displace your faith in God. Come on and be a little wild about this. Get on the radical, the winning side of this. And just say yes to God. It's going to be all right. Turn to somebody by you. Tell them, shake them a little bit and say, it's going to be all right. God's in this. God's going to help you. God's going to open the door. God's going to make a way. Does anybody believe that? And he says, what more shall I say? I can hear Robert Baer. For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and of Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and of the prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises. Faith does all these things. Stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in flight. By faith, they quenched the violence of fire. By faith, they escaped the edge of the sword. By faith, they came out of weakness and were made strong. By faith, they waxed valiant in fight. By faith, they turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Faith was not in their natural strength. It was not in their natural intellect. It was not in their bank account. It was not in their wisdom of the world, but rather it was in their capacity to say, yes, God, I will, God, I obey, God, I embrace your word, God. And all of these things are the derivative of people of all sorts of origins and all sorts of natural capacities who said yes to God, and God brought victory to them by their expression of faith. Somebody says amen. Somebody say faith subdues kingdoms. Jesus would teach and he would say, from the days of John the Baptist unto now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. Faith subdues kingdoms. There is a prince of darkness in the city of Birmingham. There are probably under lieutenants and under demonic forces that rule in little municipalities around here. And we get the impression from Paul's letter that they are principalities and powers and rulers of darkness and spiritual wickedness in high places. And so we know there is a governmental hierarchy there among them. But I'll just tell you, it doesn't matter the demonic force that you are wrestling. The kingdoms of God, the kingdom of God overthrows the kingdom of darkness. Faith trumps everything. All oppressing spirits, if you've been oppressed by something, I want you to know you stand up in the middle of that and you shake yourself and you say, where is the God of Elijah? And you say, the God that made the heavens and the earth, he's my God. And I'm standing in the middle of this trial and I'm proclaiming that God is able, and he's God in my neighborhood, and he's God in my workplace, and he's God in my family. Somebody needs to, you need to bow your shoulders. You need to open your mouth and you need to say, I don't have to bow to a God of this world. I don't have to accept this circumstance. I don't have to accept this probable outcome. God is a God of miracles. Is there a witness in the house? You believe God is able? Clap your hands. Lift your voice. Do you believe God is able? Somebody in a bind right now, you need to open your mouth and say, my God is the God that put the stars in the heavens. My God is... My God's a healer. My God's a way maker. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. In the middle of your trouble, exercise your faith. By faith, not latent faith, not faith in a storage, not faith unspoken, not faith unacted on, because it is never any of those things. Faith unacted is not faith at all. Faith is acting. Faith is doing. Faith is amening God. It is opening your mouth and taking the right position and doing the right thing. Praise God. Well, praise God. Faith subdues kingdoms. Faith obtains promises. I rejoice in Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. It is the flagship of the gospel and the people of the gospel. And Peter tells them, now, this is what you do. They ask, what shall we do? And Peter told them, this is what you do. You repent and you get baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. But he goes on to say, and this promise is unto you and to your children and those that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Somebody say, the promise is for me. The promise is mine. It's the Holy Ghost, but it's bigger than just the Holy Ghost, if you could put it that way. It's bigger than just your initial experience in the Holy Ghost. It is the kingdom of God. It is tantamount to the blessing and the birthright. The promise of God in the Old Testament came by the laying on of the hands of the old patriarch. It was the securing of the authority of that household and the authority of God in their lives. It was the promise of God that covered every need, every part of their life. It was God's infusion of authority. It was the promise. And the promise of God is for you. And it's for your children. Everybody say, it's for me. Say, it's for my children. Say, it's for those that are afar off. I don't care how far your backslider is. It's for those that are afar off. It doesn't matter how far your children have gone. It's for those that are, no, you really need to hear this. It's for those that are afar off. They can't run further than the grace of God. They can't run further than faith. Faith can reach them out there somewhere. Your prayer, you say, well, I've just about quit praying for them because they're so far gone. Friend of mine, you keep praying. In the middle of the night, they'll feel something tugging at their heart. They'll have a visitation. Don't you get up. The devil's telling you over and over again, they're gone. They're not coming back. You prayed and you prayed and they haven't come back yet. I want you to know, faith doesn't take no for an answer. Faith says God is able. Faith says God can reach them. I can't reach them, but I can pray a prayer. I can say yes to God. If they're afar off, they come under the canopy of this promise. Faith obtains promises. Faith obtains promises. How many have a need in this house tonight? Faith obtains promises. Faith obtains promises. And the promise is for you and for your children. My God, it's for those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Praise God. Joshua chapter 14, and beginning in verse 12. This is when an elder that was there as a young man, when they first cross over, the 12 spies go into the land and they are on the brink. They are about to enter into the promise of God. They're about to conquer the land. And Joshua and Caleb walk into that place and come back with a report that God is able and that they are able. But the 10 come back with a report that is full of doubt and no faith. And they torpedo the faith of the people. And unbelief is a disease and it's contagious and it gets on you and in you. And then it radiates out into everybody around you. Unbelief is a word that you say. It's a position that you take. It's an action. action that you fail to initiate. Unbelief is the antithesis of faith. And by unbelief, they refuse to enter into the promise. And so they're destined to wander in the wilderness for 40 years until that unbelieving generation dies off. But Caleb doesn't die because God heard him. And when he came back, God said, Caleb, I heard you and you're not going to die and you're going to come back and I'm going to give you this mountain. That was 40 years before. And now Caleb is back and now he's 80 years old, but he's just as strong as he was when he was 40. And now his testimony is not bitter because he's had to hang out with these unbelievers, and he is no less full of zeal and he is no less full of faith. He says, now therefore give me this mountain whereof the Lord spake. He said, I'm going to remind God of what God said. You know, some of your prayer ought to be reminding God of what he said. Don't whine to God. Don't blame God. Don't list all your problems. That's not prayer at all. But you need to take the word of God and, like David, say, you know what? I am not qualified. I'm not good enough to receive what you promised God. But God, you said it in your word. Now do what you've said in your word unto your servant today. He said, now give me this mountain. The Lord spake it in that day. For there thou heardest in that day how the Anakims, that was a group of giant-like people, were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so the Lord be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out, as the Lord said. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. And Hebron became the inheritance of Caleb the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. He believed it when he was 40. He walked in places with people that didn't believe for 40 more years. But when he came back to that same spot, he said, God, I'm the same man I was. I'm a little bit older, but I heard you say on that day that you were going to give me that. I want you to know there's people in this house that got a promise from God a long time ago, and the devil said it's a thing of the past. It's a thing that'll never come to pass. You ought to forget it. It's been 40 years. You know what? 40 years is nothing to God. A day is like a thousand, and a thousand's like a day to God. It's nothing to God. But if you're standing in a place and you've got a promise from God in your pocket, you need to bring it out every now and then and lift it up to him and say, God, I'm not going to forget your promise. And you, I know you're not going to forget the promise. Do you know what? Faith doesn't forget the promise of God. Faith obtains the promise. Somebody say amen. Anybody in this house got a promise? Anybody in this house got a promise, something you're still excited about? It's been a long time, but you're still excited about it. You know what? I believe Birmingham's going to have a great revival. I believed it in 1987 when we first opened the door. Do you know, I believe we're not even nearly where God wants to take us in years to come. I believe God has a great revival for Birmingham, and I believe we're just getting started. I believe you hadn't seen a thing yet. There's company coming. There's families coming. There's Filipinos coming. There's Chinamen coming. My God, there's every nation, every tongue, every creed. They're on their way here. Prayer's touching them. God, by His Spirit's touching them. Something's bringing them to a rendezvous with the gospel. Praise God. There's a promise in this house. There's a promise in your life. Faith obtains promises. Faith never shuts down. Faith never quits reminding God of the promise and of His word. Caleb said, now God, I heard you say it, and I know you're going to do what you said in your word. Somebody say praise the Lord. Praise God. I think I'm going to stop. Why don't you stand? Let's clap our hands into the Lord and bless His name. The piano player's coming, but you come on down. Beat her to the altar. It's a race. She's coming around the bend. They're making their way down to the altar. I want you to bring a promise down to this altar. I want you to bring your enemy down to this altar. I want you to bring your depression down to the altar. If you've been feeling oppressed, I want you to bring that down to the altar. Whatever's been telling you it ain't like what God said, I want you to bring it all down to the altar and say, God, faith says otherwise. Faith says otherwise. Faith says God is able. Faith says God is good. Faith says God's got an ending that's gonna shock the devil. Faith says my house might be on the wall and the whole wall might fall down, but my house is not gonna fall down. I've got a crimson stream running out my window for everybody to see. I want you to know I'm under covenant with God. I fly the flag of God's kingdom in my life and in my house. I believe God's going to do something good. You know, I believe tomorrow's going to be better than today. I believe revival's just getting started. I believe miracles are in this house right now. I believe you've got an answer on the way and a promise within grasp right now. I really do believe that. I really do believe that. Somebody needs to open your mouth. God, do what you said. Do what you promised, mighty God. Pull that promise out of your pocket. Lift it up to God. See it, but God can see it. You just say, God is able. You just keep walking. You just keep believing. It may be on the other side of the hill, but God's got it in control. Now, I want you to get with somebody by you. It'd be better if it was just one and one.